Mesechtes Bava Metzia, Daf Chav, 5 lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Tesem and Beis, and on Mishnah Daf Yud Chesem Lav, the last case was that if you found Shavrin Harezer Layachzer, that if someone found a receipt, then you will not return to either party. Shani Eimeh, because we say Ksuvim Hayu, that even though this receipt was written, however Venimach Leim Shloilitnon, they decided not to actually give it and not to use the Shaver. And our Gemara begins Tana Rabbanan. We learned in the Brisa Matzah Shaver. If someone finds a receipt, and Rashi says Matzah Shaver Shekasve Isha. That Rachel writes to her husband Reuven that I received my ksuba, and Rashi states and Reuven and Rachel are still married, and even though it's generally not normal for a husband to pay the ksuba to his wife while they're married, however there were certain scenarios where this would occur, and the Brisa teaches us if Rachel is moida that she actually received a ksuba, then you would give the sheva to her husband. However, if Rachel is not moida that she received a ksuba, you will not return this receipt neither to Rachel or to Reuven. And the Gemara points out that if Rachel is Moida that she received a ksuba from Reuven, then certainly we return the receipt to Reuven. And the Gemara asks, that maybe Rachel wrote this receipt to give to her husband in Nisan, as she thought that her husband would pay her for ksuba in Nisan, and Lemaisa Reuven didn't pay her ksuba until Tishrei, and therefore she didn't deliver this receipt until Tishrei, and therefore, and Lemaisa, as Rashi pointed out, that Reuven and Rachel were married at this point. Rachel was in need of money, and she therefore went and sold the rights to a ksuba to Shimon for Tevis Hana. And as we learned in the Gemara Mesechtas Makos, there is a concept of selling a ksuba, and Rachel will sell the rights to a ksuba to a third party, and she will say to that third party that I'm selling you my ksuba, and of course there's risk involved. As if I die, then you will never be able to collect on my ksuba. But if my husband predeceases me, or if he divorces me, then you'll be able to be goyva on my ksuba. And of course, it will be a minimal amount that she'll be able to receive from the third party. And as Rashi states over here, b'tayvus hana claim of bezoil l'pisha naisa ma'isa b'safik, as Shimon is going and paying her based on a safik and based on a risk. Shem Thomas he or shena b'ayla v'yafse mishalacha, as if she will die first, then Shimon will lose out and will not be able to collect on the ksuba. And if her husband dies first, or if he divorces, then Shimon will take her place and he will be able to collect the ksuba. And therefore, her husband really shouldn't have paid the ksuba to Rachel, and instead he should have paid it to Shimon. And in reality, Rachel had no right to collect any money from Reuven in Tishrei. And therefore, when Rachel actually wrote this receipt and gave it to Reuven in Tishrei, she really had no right to write this receipt, and this receipt was really meaningless. And ultimately, Reuven will have a receipt that was written in Nisan, even though he only received it in Tishrei when he paid off a ksuba. And then Reuven will take this receipt that was dated in Nisan and go over to Lekuchas that bought the rights to the ksuba from Rachel between Nisan and Tishrei. And Reuven will tell Shimon that you have no rights to my wife's ksuba, as I already paid off her ksuba in Nisan, and therefore she had no right to sell her ksuba to you between Nisan and Tishrei. And as Rashi says, and Reuven will now go and improperly be machzik in the kaka that was mechedes for the ksuba of Rachel shalekedin. And in reality, what Rashi seems to be saying is that Shimon will come to Reuven and he will claim that the money that you paid for the ksuba to Rachel really belongs to me, and I have a right to that money. And Reuven will come back and have a claim and say that lemaisa I actually paid off Rachel ksuba in Nisan and prior to her selling it to you, and therefore the entire sale wasn't valid, and therefore you have no rights to any money for the ksuba. And l'chira, if so, why did the Brisa state that matzah shayva b'zmatcha isha moida yachzel l'baal? If l'chira, by giving the receipt back to a husband, we should be choshish that potentially he's causing a loss to l'kuchais. And Ayna Masha, who explains why the Gemara did not ask this question directly from the Mishnah on the Afyut Chesem Na'av, where the Mishnah stated that matzah shayva b'harezeh lo yachzer shani oimek suvna hayim nimlech leim shalei litnan. And we were medai previously that time of the nimlach shleitnitlan her amra tnu naisin. But if she would say to give the shayva to her husband, then we would give it to her husband. And l'chayr, we didn't have to bring the brisa and ask a question from the brisa, and we could have asked the question directly from a diuk in the Mishnah. And the Gemara continues, it brings two terutzim as to why we don't have this chash. And Rava and Rava states, and we continue at daf chafam nalv shma mina, that we see from this brisa isal l'shmuel that we hold like Shmuel, and the amr Shmuel hamichestach chayv l'chaveri v'chazum Mechaloi Machol Vafilu Yoyosh Mechol, that if Reuben borrowed money from Shimon, and Shimon then sold his rights to that money to Levi, and then prior to Levi having the opportunity to go and collect the money from Reuben, Shimon goes and is Mechol Dechayiv to Reuben, it's considered a valid Mechila, and Reuben will not have to pay Levi any money. Not only will it be a Mechila if Shimon is Mechol it, but even if Shimon's Yershim are Mechol Dechayiv, it would be a valid Mechila. And based on this din of Shmuel, we don't have to be Choshish for a potential loss to Lekuchais that bought the right to the Ksuba between Nisan and Tishrei. And as Rashi states, Hilkach and Machu Zuk Subasa Be'ir, the Hainu Shtar Chayiv, and therefore if Rachel sold the rights to a Ksuba to Shimon during the month of Ir, and of course a Ksuba is similar to a Shtar Chayiv, and therefore if Rachel decides at some point to Meichel her Ksuba to her husband, she has a right to do so, and then Shimon would not be able to collect on a Ksuba. And if so, we don't have to be Choshish Shem Kasva Sheva Benisa and V'lein Nosna Tishrei, as if they wanted to cause Shimon to lose the Ksuba, she could have just been Meichel the Ksuba to her husband Reuven, and if she would have been Meichel the Ksuba to Reuven, then certainly Shimon would not be able to collect on a Ksuba, even though Shimon previously bought the rights to a Ksuba from Rachel. And that's why in the Mishnah we stated that if she wrote a Sheva and she agrees that this receipt was given to her husband, then we would believe her, as there's no reason to be Choshish that they went through such an intricate plan in order to cause a loss to Shimon, as ultimately, if they wanted to cause a loss to Shimon, all Rachel had to do was be Meichel the Ksuba to her husband Reuven. And the Gemara continues, Abaya Amman, Abaya states, Afil Tame Leisel the Shmuel, even we would say that we don't hold up the concept of Shmuel, and really Rachel could not be Meichel the right to a Ksuba, and Shimon could always collect the Ksuba from Reuven. And even so, the Brisa states, Bizman She Isha Moida Yachsel Baal, and will give the receipt back to her husband, and we're not going to be Choshish that maybe she sold her Ksuba to Shimon, and now they're trying to cheat Shimon out of his right to the Ksuba. And Abaya explained the reason is because Hachar Bayeskinon, as the Brisa is talking about a scenario, B'Shishtak Ksuba Yoitza Metachas Yoda, where at the time that we found the receipt, and Rachel now comes and tells us that we should return the receipt to her husband, as she was already paid for a Ksuba, she also brought out her Ksuba in front of us, and we see that she actually has her original Ksuba, and therefore, as Rashi says, the Lekle Mechel Shel Shema Machra B'Tayvus Hanah, so we can't be Choshish that maybe Rachel sold the rights to Ksuba to Shimon for Tayvus Hanah, she even Machrasa, as if she would have sold her rights to Ksuba, Hoysa Meseres HaKsuba B'Yad HaLekeach, then certainly the only way that Shimon would have bought the rights to Ksuba is if she actually delivered the actual Ksuba document to him, and he had possession of the Ksuba document, and by the fact that Rachel still has a Ksuba, therefore clearly we see that Rachel didn't sell the rights to a Ksuba to Shimon, and therefore there's no chash that potentially she and her husband are in cahoots to cheat out the Lekeach and to cheat Shimon. And the Gemara continued that the reason why Rava did not give the same teretz as Abaya, and he said that we see from our Braisa a riot to Shmuel, because Rava Amar, Rava states, Imishim Shtak Ksuba, Chayshin L'Shtay Ksuba, if it would only be that she actually has a Shtak Ksuba, that would not be enough of a proof that she didn't sell a Ksuba and the right to a Ksuba to Shimon, as potentially she had two Ksubas. And as Rashi explained, that potentially she actually had two Shtari Ksuba, and therefore we still have to be Choshish that potentially she sold the right to a Ksuba to Shimon, and she gave him one of those Shtari Ksuba, and therefore if not for the fact that we hold like Shmuel that a Mechish Tachar V'Chaveri V'Chazer Mecholoi that's considered a Mechila, then we would be Choshish that potentially she made a Ketunia with her husband, and she made a deal with her husband that she will actually admit that she received the Ksuba, and therefore she gave a receipt to her husband, and then her husband will take the receipt and claim that he paid Rachel in Nisan, and then he'll be able to go over to Shimon and tell Shimon that he had no right to buy the rights to Rachel Ksuba in Ir, as he already paid off the Ksuba in Nisan, and therefore his entire transaction with Rachel was null and void. And Lemaisa Zok Rava, that since we hold like Shmuel, therefore there'd be no reason for them to make such a Knunya, as if Rachel wanted to help her husband Reuven and make sure that Reuven never has to pay her Ksuba to Shimon, all she would have to do is be Meichel Ksuba to Reuven, and therefore the Brice is correct that if we find a Sheva and Rachel agrees that her husband Reuven paid her Ksuba and therefore she already gave this receipt to Reuven, there is no reason to be Choshish that this is not a valid transaction and it's not a valid receipt. And the Gemara continues, Abaya Oman, Abaya says that it's not right from this Brice to Shmuel, as first of all, not Choshish that a woman will have two Ksubas, and therefore since Rachel pulled out a Ksuba at this point, so it's impossible that she previously sold the rights to a Ksuba to Shimon, as she wouldn't have had another Ksuba to deliver to Shimon upon his purchase of her rights to a Ksuba. And even if we have to be choshish that maybe Rachel pre-sold the Ksuba to Shimon, but even so, that since Abaya taught us that once there's a shtar, where Edom sign on the shtar, then even if the delivery of the shtar happens at a later point, but the actual validity of the shtar starts l'mafreya from the point that the Edom already signed on the shtar. Therefore, even if this receipt was signed in Nisan and only given in Tishrei, but ultimately once Rachel delivers the sheva to Reuven in Tishrei, then it actually is b'chal l'mafreya from Nisan. And therefore, even if it's true that Reuven only paid off the ksuba to Rachel in Tishrei, but ultimately, since he has a sheva that has a date that's dated in Nisan, so the sheva is considered as if it was chal in Nisan, and therefore Reuven has a legitimate taina to Shimon that Shimon's purchase of the right to the ksuba for Rachel was actually not a valid purchase, since the date of the receipt that Reuven has predates the date that Shimon bought the rights to Rachel ksuba from Rachel. And l'maisa ayin and Taisis deal maskal sheva bismani tariv, where Taisis points out that even though that Reuven actually only received the sheva after the point that Rachel already sold the rights to ksuba to Shimon, and l'chayu maybe we should only say the din of Abaya that eda b'chasum and zachloi is only if there was not an interceding transaction between the time of the writing of that shtar and the delivery of that shtar. But in our case, since after the time that the sheva was written, Shimon went and bought the rights to the ksuba from Rachel, and only afterwards did Rachel deliver the sheva to Reuven, maybe we would not say this klal of Abaya. And Taisus states that this is not the case, and afal pisha shtar mechira nimsel l'kuches t'chila ein amoyel v'tayef habal kedin v'chein amol el gabi shechuri avodim. And we also mentioned this earlier by shechuri avodim. And Taisus explains, "V'nirish atakonz chachami shezoych mishas chasima afal pish loy nimsalay ad yom rabim achrikain shemloy kain loyilu loyuchlo edum lachtoin elim yura mesira mishum chashasha the kasub nisav loy nasan tishrei ubmasman beni beni ayin in Taisus." And once we see this point of Taisus, we can now understand the top Taisus on Daf Yud Tesfon Beis, which we were bothered with when we learned that Taisus. And we continue with the new Mishnah: Matza igri shum v'igris mazin shtari chlitzo miyunin v'shtari biruin v'chol maisa bezin harizi. And the Mishnah teaches us that if you find any of these types of court documents, which we'll define in a moment, then in all cases you could return them to the actual owner of these documents. And Rashi says, "Harezi yachser the lekel meichel shel shemen nimlach the bezin lekosvim el bedal mekuyim." As we won't be choishish that maybe Bezdin decided not to actually give this court document out, as Bezdin was very careful not to write anything unless they were certain they had to actually write this document. And all these cases, we're not going to be choishish that maybe these documents were paid off, and therefore they're not valid documents, and potentially you're going to be able to steal from the Lukukhois, the Bahani Shtaris, Loshaych Puroyan, as in all these types of Shtaris, it's not Shaykh any concept of Puroyan, and therefore they're never going to be bottle, Kedamin El, as the Gemara explained, Adaf Tasayin Abayz. And let's explain what these documents are. So the first document, Igre Shum, is referring to a case where Reuven lent money to Shimon, and Shimon is not paying this money, and Reuven now goes to Bezin and asks them for permission to go and collect this money and this Chayiv from Shimon's property, and Bezin will write an appraisal or an assessment letter and give it to Reuven. And Igris Mazon is a court document where Reuven promises Rachel to support her children while they're married, or potentially even after they're married, and then they go to Bezin in order for them to write a document that gives the right for Rachel to go and collect this money from Reuven. And Shtar Chalitza is of course talking about a case where Reuven was married to Rachel, and Reuven died without children, and now Rachel was zokel Yibam to Reuven's brothers, and until she does Yibam or Chalitza, she's also to marry anyone, as the pasuk states. Once one of the brothers of Reuven does chalitza with her, the Bezdin will write a court document that states that she did chalitza, and therefore she's mutter to go and get married. Shtar Miyunin is talking about a case where there was a tana that became a yisayma, and as we know, her mother or her brothers or any of her kravim could go and marry her off, and that kedusha will only be a kedusha rabbanon. And the din is that this katana at some point could protest and say that she doesn't want to be married to this person, and if she does so, she would not need a get, and the original kedushin that she had with this person would be annulled and would be batal. As Rashi says, "Ali meres b'fnei shloisha yefshi b'pleni b'ayli v'kaisla bezin shtar shemir b'fneim lias la'idah shemitaris l'nasei." And since this was done by peh and she doesn't have a get, therefore Bezin would write that we know that she did mian properly, and therefore she's mutter to get married to someone else, and she's not an ish zish. And finally, the Mishnah mentions shtari berurin, and the Gemara will bring two different pshatim as to what shtari berurin refers to. And the Mishnah Mishnah continues, Matzah b'chafisa oy b'dluskama, if you found any type of shtar in some sort of a box, and as we will see, that the person that lost it will come and give a simon as to the type of box that the shtar was in, or if we find tachris shel shtaris oy agudas shel shtaris, different types of bundles of shtaris, as the Gemara will explain, and the Mishnah tells us that in all these cases, harezeh yachzer, that you can return these shtaris to the person who comes and gives a proper simon. And the Mishnah continues, v'kama agudas shel shtaris, shleisha k'shurin zeh b'zeh, and how many shtaris do you have to have in a bundle in order for a person to be able to come and give a simon and say that I lost X amount of shtaris, and that would be a valid simon? It has to be that there are at least three shtaris that are tied together, and the proper owner of the shtaris would have to come and say, I lost X amount of shtaris. However, as we will see in the Gemara, if there are less than three shtaris and a person comes to Bezdin and says that I lost two shtaris, that would not be a proper simon. And the Mishnah continues, Rav Shimon Gamliel Eimeh, Echra Leiva Mishleisha Yachsel Leiva, that if you find three shtaris, all three shtaris say that Reuben borrowed money. However, the first star says that Reuben borrowed money from Shimon, the second star says Reuben borrowed money from Levi, and the third star says Reuben borrowed money from Yehuda. So as the Gemara will explain, that definitely makes sense that these shtaris all belong to Reuben, as otherwise, why would all these shtaris be together? And therefore, certainly it seems that these three shtaris belong to the borrower, and it must prove that either he never borrowed the money, and therefore he's holding on to these shtaris, or he already borrowed the money, and he already paid off the shtaris, and that's why he has these shtaris, and therefore will return all three shtaris to the borrower. However, if there is a reverse case, that shleisha loivim mina echad yachsel amalva, that if there would be a case where you find three shtaris, and the first shtar states that Shimon borrowed money from Reuven, the second shtar states that Levi borrowed money from Reuven, and the third shtar states that Yehuda borrowed money from Reuven, then certainly it makes a lot of sense that all these shtaris belong to the lender, as that is why all three shtaris were in his rishus, and therefore we will give back the three shtaris to Malva, and he'll be able to go and collect using these three shtaris, and he'll be able to collect his chayiv from Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. However, certainly, if these shtaris belong to Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, it doesn't really make sense why they'd all be found in one spot. And the Gemara continues, Matzah shtar bein shtaresa vein yodea mativa yehi munach ad she'er elio. If a third party finds a shtar between his shtaris, and for example, Levi finds a shtar between his documents, and it states that Reuben owes $1,000 to Shimon, and he's not sure if the shtar was already paid off, and the Levi gave it to him for safekeeping, or possibly the Malva gave it to him for safekeeping, and really it's still a valid shtar, and really he should return it to the Malva. Rashi brings a third possibility, Hashemah miksasa perua, and maybe only part of it was paid off, and the reason why they gave it to him was in order that he should be a shalish, and he should hold it as a third party, in order that they should make sure that they don't pay the full amount a second time. V'shachach, and l'maisa, Levi forgot as to what the pshat is that he has the shtar, and the Mishnah teaches us that the din is himunach ashiav elio. And finally, the Mishnah will discuss a case of simpoinis. And Rashi on Daf Chof and Beis tells us simpoin is shoyva mevatel shtar. It's referring to a receipt which is mevatel shtar choyv. And Rashi tells us the kol dova mevatel dova kari simpoin, that anything that's mevatel another thing is called a simpoin. Kedama gabe kedusha isha o mechiris eved shamum kari simpoin, that a mum is called a simpoin mepleish mevatel samekach, as it has the potential to be mevatel mekach and to mevatel kedushin. The Mishnah now states in Yeshi Moyen Simpoinis, Yasim Mashav Simpoinis, that if Reuven is a lender and he finds a receipt amongst his documents, then he has to follow the Simpoin, as Rashi states, Vashtar Becheskas Pura, and therefore he would have to consider that the Shtar that he has is Becheskas Pura, and it's considered that it was paid. And Rashi continues, Va'afal Pi Shahil Shebazel Lias Munach Piyada Leva, and Lachayr, if it's true that this receipt is a valid receipt, then this receipt should have been in the hands of the Leva and not in the hands of the Malva. However, Rashi says, Aminon, that we say, Hamino Aloiva, that the Loiva believed the Malva, as the Malva told the Loiva, at this moment I don't have the receipt, and therefore the Loiva said, I'll pay you today, Va'oma Machot Snoli, and then tomorrow you'll give me my receipt, and V'shachach and L'maisa, the Malva forgot to give him his receipt, and therefore we say this receipt is actually a proper receipt, and therefore the Malva can't collect on this Chayiv. And our Gemara begins, and asks on a Mishnah, that we mention Shtari Brurin, and the Gemara asks, my Shtari Brurin, what is Shtari Brurin? And the Gemara answers, Hachit Tegumo, in Bavel we mutagim, and we explain Shtari Tanasa, it's referring to a document that records all the arguments of the Baladin, and therefore the Baladin can't be Chayzu Magid based on the fact that we wrote down their exact kindness. And Rabbi Yemi Omar, Rabbi Yemiya states that's not referring to Shtari Tenasa, but it's referring to Shtari Bruin, that Zer Bar Le'echad, Zer Bar Le'echad, and referring to a case where you picked a Yonim based on Zabla, where Reuven comes to Bezin and picks his Dayin, and then Shimon comes to Bezin and picks his Dayin, and then the two Dayanim go and choose a third Dayin. And as Rashi says, once Reuven and Shimon pick their Dayin, then we write a Shtar for them that Zer Bar Le'echad is plenty, Vizer Bar Le'echad is plenty, Shlo Yuchlu Lachsaben. And the Gemara continues and quotes from the Mishnah, V'chol Maisa Bezin HaRezi Yachzer, and any Maisa Bezin, you would go and return to the proper party. And on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, the Gemara already brought the next story, and the Gemara begins, Ahu Gita Deshtakach Beidin Rav Huna, there was a get that already was Mekuyim, and it was already certified that the Edom were proper, and it was found in the Bezin of Rav Huna. And as Rashi says, Deshtakach Beidin Mekuyim Behempik, and it was already Mekuyim, Vashliach Mevio Oimem Mimenu Nafal, and the Shliach that brought this get, he says that I lost this get, and he wants to now take this get and deliver it to Rachel. As we previously mentioned on Daf Yud Ches, that since this was by the Bezdin Rav Huna, that was considered an area that Shchiach Beishirasa, as people would come to travel to the Bezdin Rav Huna in order to receive various psakim from Rav Huna, and Lemaisa Daviksib Bei Bishvir Masa Davrachas Nara. In the get, it was written that this get was written for Yosef Ben Shimon in the city of Shviri, which is on the riverbank of Rachis. Lemaisa, as we explained previously, even though we knew that in the city of Rachis there were no other people with the same name, and there was no other Yosef Ben Shimon, and even so, Rav Huna, the Rav Huna Paskin, and we continue on Daf Chaf and Beis, Chayshin on Lishnei Shviri, we have to still be Chayshish that maybe there are two similar cities called Shviri, which were both situated next to a river called Rachis, and maybe in that other city there was a person named Yosef Ben Shimon, and therefore we would still have to be Chayshish that maybe this get was not the Shliach's get, and maybe it belonged to a different party named Yosef Ben Shimon. And the Gemara continues, Omle Rav Chista Rabba, Rav Chista, who is a Talmud Rav Huna, says to Rabba, who is also a Talmud Rav Huna, Puk Ayinba, Del Orta Boyle Rav Huna Minach, you should go and delve into the Shaila very well, because tonight Rav Huna will ask this question from you, and I want to know what you think about the Shaila, Nafik Dachva Eshach. And Rabba went out, and he looked into this very carefully, and he found a Raya from our Mishnah, that's not as our Mishnah stated, Kol Maisa Bezdin HaRezi Yachzer, and Rabba felt that even though that there were Sheyoros Mitzuyos, but since we don't have a Chazakah, that it was Shtei Yosef Ben Shimon that lived in the city, therefore we could go and return to get to the Shliach. And as Rashi says, that Le'iracha She'ini Yadua Lano Lo'i Chashinon, that we're not going to be Choshish, that maybe there's a Yosef Ben Shimon that lives in another city with the same name of the city that's written in this get. And the Maisa in the Gemara, and after Chesem Beis, the Gemara ended over here, and we saw that Rabba argued on the Din of Rav Huna. However, our Gemara continues, Amalei Rav Amram Rabba, so Rav Amram said to Rabba, Heichi Pashin Mar Isur Remoina, that how can you bring a Raya from our Mishnah that was talking about Din and Mamnis, as when the Mishnah stated, Kol Maisa Bezdin HaRezi Yachzer, it's going in similar cases to Matzei Gerishon V'Geris Mazayin, which are Dine Mamnis, and therefore Rav Amram asked Rabba that you can't bring a Raya from Dine Mamnis to Dine Issa. And the Gemara tells us, Amalei, so Rabba responded to Rav Amram, Tardo, as Rashi says, Meshumam, or as the Bach brings from Rashi Masechtas Krisis, that it refers to a Shoita or an Otzal, either a fool or someone that's lazy. And Rashi Masechtas Vachim says, Baal, that is someone that's tired. And the explanation of Otzal or Baal makes a lot of sense over here, as Lemaisa Rabba continues and asks Rav Amram, that Lemaisa, you didn't complete reading the Mishnah, as the Mishnah stated, Shtari Chalitza Meunin Tanan, which are definitely talking about Issar, and therefore I'm not learning from Mamayna, and I'm actually learning from Issar. And Rashi Masechtas Brachas on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis states, Hechi Pashit Mar Isurim Moino as Moino Kal Meisura and Ayn in Taptesis Vim Toima Tveyana Machmirim Moino. We find many cases where Machmir Mamamin more than Issa Da Ina Nohelcha Mamam Achariv Uvisura as Lina Basruba Afilu Hechi Deka Chazakit Isura Kenegar Rive Veloy Chashin Shem Makam Neka Koshakit. And Taisis explains Veishleiman and Makam Makam Beishesish Chmiru the Mayim Shein Lam Saif Loy Tinasa Lachatila Afalpish Ruba Mesim that we do find Benegay the Issa Veishesish that will Machmir even more, and therefore Rabbi Amram question is that how can you learn the din of Issa of Eishes Ish from Mamayna? And Taisis also states Ve'oidi Yishleima de Midoraisa Leichashin on Shnei Yosef Ben Shimon. Certainly Midoraisa were not Chayish for Shnei Yosef Ben Shimon. Amar Rabbanu Chayshina Mishum Laz Umayna Lishayich Laz Lekach Per Shaper Heichi Pashim Mar Isur Mamayna. Certainly by Mamu were not Chayish Laz, and by Issa there's a reason to be Chayish Laz, and therefore Midorabbanu we should be Chayish Shnei Yosef Ben Shimon. And the Gemara tells us that after these sharp words between Rav Amram and Rabba, Paka Azad Be Rav, that the cedar beams that the Beis Medrash was leaning on started cracking, and Ma'amma Meshulma Soidi Dipaka, and Rab Amram said that's because Rabbah embarrassed me, therefore it started breaking, and it's because of my mazel, as Rashi said, Bishvil Mazoli, the beam is taking retribution because I was embarrassed, and Ma'amma Meshulma Soidi Dipaka, and Rabbah said that the reason why the beam is breaking because it's trying to protect my covered, and as Rashi says, Sheshaftel Dvorai Levaishoni Beis Medrash, because you tried to slug me up, and you tried to embarrass me in the Beis Medrash. And the Gemara continues and quotes our Mishnah, Matzah b'chafisa ibedotskuma, if you found any shtachayiv, some sort of a keli, and the person that lost it comes and gives a valid simon, then you have to give it back to that person. My chafisa, and what is a chafisa? Amrav babachana, chemis ktana, it's referring to a leather flask that he used to use to place wine in. And my dloskuma, and was dloskuma, amrav bashmuel, talika de sabe, is referring to a sack or a box that older people used to put their small items in, and this way they wouldn't lose them, and they would be able to find them when they needed it. And Rashi says, "Tlika de Sabe Taska Shazakin Masnim Bar Klei Tashmishon Shloistaku L'Chapis Achreim." The Gemara continues, "Tachra Shel Shtoris Ayaguda Shel Shtoris," and the Gemara will now explain what is the difference between a Tachra Shel Shtoris and a Aguda Shel Shtoris. And the Gemara brings a brisa as Tanur Banan Kamu Tachra Shel Shtoris Shloisha Kruchin Zebzeh. If you have three shtoris that are wrapped together with each other, the Kami Aguda Shel Shtoris, and what is a bundle of shtoris Shloisha Kshurin Zebzeh, when we have three shtoris that are tied together. And Rashi explains, "Vizel Simon Shabaylam Noisimem," and this is the simon that the Baylam give. "Zeh Yachris Mitzias Shtaris Matzasi," that someone will announce, "I found many shtaris." "Vizel Yomer," and the other one will say, "Shaliim," that they're mine. "Ushleishim Kuchenin Zebazeh," and there were three that were tied together, and that would be a valid simon. And the Gemara continues that we know that there's a shayla if a kesher is considered a simon, as there are many different types of knots, and if someone comes and says that I tied my bundle of shtaris with a specific knot, that would be the simon. And it's mashma from our Gemara that when Reuven comes and says that this bundle of shtaris is mine, he actually gives a simon based on the kesher, as otherwise what other simon was he giving over here, and why would we say that it belongs to this person? And l'chari would we say from here that we have a raya that the kesher is a simon? And the Gemara answers that you don't have a raya that the kesher is a simon, as Hatani Rab Chiya taught us in the Braisa, Shleisha Kuchen Zebazeh, that the simon is not based on the tie, but the simon is that generally when someone has shtaris, he wraps each one individually. And in this case, they found three shtaris that were wrapped all together, and they weren't wrapped individually. And the Gemara says, if you're telling me that the simon was the way that they were wrapped, Ihachi Hainu Tachrich, then l'chira, there's no difference between Aguda Shel Shtaris and Tachrich Shel Shtaris. And the Gemara now answers and defines the difference between a Tachrich Shel Shtaris and Aguda Shel Shtaris. And the Gemara explains, Tachrich Kol Chad V'Chad B'Reisha D'Chavrei, and Aguda D'Ram Ha'adad U'Kruchais. And when the Mishnah discusses a Tachrich Shel Shtaris, it's referring to someone that takes shtar number one and he rolls it up, then he takes shtar number two and rolls it around shtar number one, and then he takes shtar number three and rolls it around shtar number two, and therefore all these three shtaris are wrapped around each other. However, an aguda shel shtaris is when someone takes shtar number one, shtar number two, and shtar number three, and he piles one on top of the other, and then he rolls them up all together. And the Gemara continues, my makris, so in these cases, when the person that found the shtaris goes and announces that he found shtaris, what does he go and announce? And the Gemara says, minion, he goes and he announces that he found three shtaris, and once he announces that he found three shtaris, then the person that owns the shtaris has to come and describe how he wrapped those shtaris, and either he did this as an aguda or as a tachrich shel shtaris. And the Gemara therefore continues, my irit plasa filu treinami, the lechira, if the person that found it is announcing the number of shtaris, then why did we say that it has to be that you had three shtaris? If lechira, even if you had two shtaris, then the person who found these shtaris will announce, I found two shtaris, and then the proper owner will have to come and describe exactly how they were wrapped. And the Gemara answers, Ela kadam Ravina tavo makris, that just like Ravina said, b'negay another case, that you now they found coins, and then the person that lost it will have to come and tell us the amount of coins, and he'll also have to tell us how he lost it. Hachanami shtari makris, and our case also, the person that found it will actually have to announce that he found shtaris, and he won't say how many, and then the person that lost it will have to come and tell us the amount of shtaris that he lost, and tell us exactly how they were wrapped. And Rashi explains that since the one who found it doesn't announce how many shtaris, Aval Trei made the idea, therefore if there are only two shtaris, then certainly anyone could guess that there were at least two shtaris, because and therefore a minion by itself would not be a simon. And the Gemara continues and quotes from a Mishnah, that if someone found three shtaris, and the first shtar stated that Reuven borrowed from Shimon, and the second shtar stated Reuven borrowed from Levi, and then the third shtar stated that Reuven borrowed from Yehuda, then certainly it makes sense that all these shtaris fell from one person, as that is why they were all together, and therefore we return all the shtaris to Levi. And as Rashi said, that the person that finds them will give it back to Levi, as the Vade Parim v'chzirim loy umiyadei naflu, that certainly he paid off for all these debts, and therefore they returned these shtaris to him, and then the Levi lost these shtaris, shemiyadim naflu, as if these shtaris fell from the lenders, mikhaptim l'makam echad, who gathered them all into one spot. And the Gemara begins with this point, as if you would think that these shtaris belong to Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, who were the lenders, then why would they be next to each other? And the Gemara states that how do you know that they belong to the Leiva? As maybe they took these three shtaris and they brought it to Bezin in order to be Mekayim these shtaris and to have them certified. And the Gemara answers the Mekayimi that the case is talking about a scenario where they were already certified. And the Gemara asks, maybe we could still say that all three of the lenders brought their shtaris to be Mekayim in Bezin, and Bezin then certified the shtaris, and then Bezin lost the shtaris, and that's why they're all together. And the Gemara answers, Loi Mashi Inish Kiyume Biyadir Safra, that once we have a certification, then we don't leave these shtaris by the Seifer, and therefore it doesn't make sense that they would still be together and they would be lost by the Seifer. The Gemara continues and quotes from the next dinner of Shimon and Eliel, Shloisha Loivim and Echad Yachsel and Malva, that if there are three documents that are found, and in the first document it says that Reuven lent money to Shimon, and the second document it says that Reuven lent money to Levi, and the third document says that Reuven lent money to Yehuda, so since the Sada Shava between all these three shtaris is the Malva, therefore we say that it certainly fell from the Malva, and it certainly belongs to the lender and not to these three borrowers. As the Gemara starts, as if these three shtaris belong to Shimon, Levi, and Huda, who were the borrowers, so why would all three of these shtaris be in the same place? And the Gemara asks, that maybe they really belong to the three borrowers, and the borrowers all went to the same cipher in order to write these shtari chay for them, and then they lost it, and potentially these loans never occurred, and therefore we should give these documents back to the borrowers. And the Gemara answered, the chsivi betlasi de safri, that they were written in three different handwritings, and therefore it's clear that these three documents were written by three different seferim, and therefore it must be that the Malva lost these three documents. And the Gemara asked, v'dilma l'kimun razli, and maybe these three borrowers took these shtari chayiv, and they went to Bezdin in order to be mekayim all three shtaris, and they went together, and then they lost these shtaris. And the Gemara answers, Malva mekayim shtari, lo v'loy mekayim shtari, certainly it doesn't make sense that a borrower will go and try to certify a shtar, as of course that's against his better interest, and certainly the only one that's normal to go and certify a shtar is generally a lender and not a borrower. And the Gemara continues and quotes from the last din of our Mishnah, in Yeshima and Simpinus, Yasir Masha B'Simpinus, that the Mishnah stated that if Reuven finds a receipt amongst his documents, and even though generally a receipt is given to a borrower and is not held by the lender, and even so he has to be choshish, then maybe this shtar chayiv was paid off, and therefore he can't go and collect on that loan. And the Gemara will bring down a memra, and then we'll use our Mishnah as a question on this memra. And the Gemara begins, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu ba Abba Amar Rav, Rabbi Yirmiyahu ba Abba said, name of Rab, Simpan Yotzi Mitachas Yedei Malva, if Reuven has a receipt in his possession, and he also has a shtar chayiv in his possession regarding that same loan, Apal Pi Shekasa B'Ksav Yodai, even though that receipt is written in his own handwriting, Ein Elo K'Misachei K'Pasol, then we see that it's only written as a joke, and it wasn't written as a serious matter. The borrower never really paid off his loan, and therefore this receipt is Pasol, and Reuven could go and use the shtar chayiv to collect on his chayiv. And the Gemara continues that Rabbi Yirmiyahu ba Abba said over the name of Rav this din, and he used the lashon of Afal Pi Shekasa B'Ksav Yodai, and therefore the Gemara explains that the chiddush of Rav is that loy miboy kasa b'ksav yad seifer, that certainly in the case where this receipt is written in the handwriting of a seifer, the iklamei masafris ramele b'kasav, that we could say that this lender didn't know how to write, and therefore when he knew that there was a seifer in town, he went to the seifer and asked the seifer to write him a receipt that if there was a period of time when the borrower will come and pay back his loan, he'll have this receipt handy and will be able to give it to the borrower, and this way he'll be able to get paid back properly for his loan. However, Rav is actually mechadish to us that even more so, el afilo kasa b'ksav yodai pasol, that even if this receipt is written in Reuven's own handwriting and he was able to write, we would still consider that this receipt is pasol and Reuven can still collect on his chayiv. And even though there's a svara to say, then why would Reuven write an actual receipt if at the time that the Levi comes to pay back his loan, let Reuven write the receipt at that time. And the Gemara explains, because Sava, as Reuven thought, Dilma Misrami V'asi Benesh Moshes, possibly the buyer will come on Erev Shabbos Benesh Moshes and will want to pay back my loan, and if I don't have a receipt available, then he won't want to pay me. And as the Gemara says, V'kaparli, and he'll want to pay me, the Lo Yavinale, and if I won't give him a receipt, Lo Yavli Zuzi, he won't give me my money back, and Echta Anah, and therefore I'm going to write a Sheva at this point, Dichi Aisli Zuzi Etelne, and this way, whenever he comes to pay me back, I'll always have this receipt available, and I'll be able to get my money back that much quicker. And the Gemara now asks from our Mishnah, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Im Yeshi Marin Simpinis, Yasu Mashab and Simpinis. Clearly, it seems not like Rav, as if you find a receipt amongst your documents, the Mishnah stated we have to look at this receipt as a valid receipt, and Reuven can collect based on his Shachayiv. And Lechayiv, Rav said just the opposite. And the Gemara answers, Kedam Rav Safra, Shinimsa Bain Shtar is Kuruyan, like Rav Safra will say in a moment, in a different case, you found a corresponding Shtar to this receipt in the pile of Shtaris that were already ripped up, or as some agurish, shtaris purin, the shtaris that already paid off, and hachinami shematsu being shtaris kurin. In our Mishnah, we're also talking about a scenario, Reuven found the corresponding shtar to this receipt in the pile of shtaris that were already ripped up or were already paid. And Rashi states, being shtaris kurin, v'hu ein akurua, and this shtachayv was not ripped up, and therefore he may think that this shtachayv is valid. But Lemaisa, since Reuven also found a corresponding receipt, Lefikach Seim Chen Al Sheva, Shemokam Shtar Mechiach Al Sheva Shum Emes, as since the Shtar was found in a spot where all the rest of the Shtaris were ripped up and were paid, therefore it's Megala that this receipt was a valid receipt, and he actually was paid off for this loan, Shem Le Nifra Lo Yoy Neis Na Shtar, Eitz Al Shtar is Korean, as if he wasn't paid off, then he wouldn't have placed the Shtar Chayiv by the Shtaris which were ripped up and which were paid off. And Rashi says, Kach Shemati, this is the Pshat I heard. However, Rashi says, V'lina that we're talking about a case that he found a receipt between the shtaris that were ripped up, and therefore it seems to be that he actually was paid off for the original chayiv, and really the shayva was not needed for the malva, and it was really needed for the borrower, but the meister leiva forgot it, and therefore the lender placed the receipt amongst the documents that he doesn't need any longer, because the so all these shtaris were paid off. The Isak Daitra Malva Kosvo Lius Mukhalai Kashiyas Leva Lapari, Loy Nostrum Shtaris, Shain Srikhalai, as if this receipt was not a real receipt and he really only wrote it in order to have it available, then he wouldn't have placed it amongst these documents that he doesn't really need any longer. And the Gemara continues, Tashmar will ask a question on this din of Rav from Mishnah Mesech Zabar Basra, as the Mishnah teaches us that if Reuven lend money to two people that are named Yosef ben Shimon and Nimsa Lecha ben Shtaresa of Shtaris Shal Yosef ben Shimon Perua, and then Reuven finds amongst his documents a receipt that states that the shtar of Yosef ben Shimon was paid off, shtarish shtein purin, then Reuven would not be able to collect from either one of these Yosef ben Shimon. As Rashi says, shekol echad yachalei ba'al sheli nichtav sheva, and therefore Reuven would not be able to collect the chayiv from either one of these Yosef ben Shimon. And the Gemara's question is that l'chayra, Rav just stated that simpani yosef mitachsi de malva, that as long as this receipt is in the hands of the malva, we don't consider that this receipt is a valid receipt, and why is it that in this case we say that it's a valid receipt and Reuven can no longer collect from either one of these Yosef ben Shimon? And once again, the Gemara answers, "Can Amrav Safra Shnimsa Bein Shtaris Kriyan Hachinami Shnimsa Bein Shtaris Kriyan?" That in Chinami, the Mishnah Maseches Bava Basra is talking about a case either like Rashi said in his first pshat that Reuven found the shtaris of Yosef ben Shimon between his other shtaris that were already paid off and ripped up, or as Rashi said in his second pshat that Reuven found this receipt among those shtaris that were already paid up, and therefore, as Rashi says, it doesn't make sense that the Malva wrote this receipt and he never gave it to the Leiva, as if so, he wouldn't have placed this receipt amongst those documents that didn't have any value to him any longer. And the Gemara continues and asks another question on Rav from a Mishnah of Masechta Shavuos. As Tashma, we learned in the Mishnah of Masechta Shavuos on Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph, Shavuos Shloi Paktanu Abba V'Shloi Omalonu Abba V'Shloi Matzano Beishtarei Seven Shla Abba Sheshazeh Perua. And Mishnah teaches us that if Reuven lent money to Shimon and then both Reuven and Shimon die, then the din is that when Reuven's children come to collect the chayiv of the father from the children of Shimon, they have to make three different shvuas. And number one, Reuven's children will swear that a father did not tell us while he was on his deathbed that he was paid off. And number two, our father never told us at any other time that he was paid off. And number three, that they swear that they didn't find a receipt amongst their father's possession that says that he was already paid off. L'chaira, according to Rav, even if they would find a receipt that states that this loan was paid off, this receipt should not be valid. And as Rav stated, ein ela k'misachek u'pasol, and therefore, why would they have to make such a shvua? And the Gemara tells us that it's in regard to this Mishnah, Mesechta Shvuos, that Amar Rav Safra, that Rav Safra explained, shenimsa bein shtaras kurin, that the reason why the Mishnah stated that if they find this receipt, it would be a valid receipt, is because either they found the shtaris between the shtaris that were ripped up, or they found a receipt between the shtaris that were already ripped up, as we explained before, based on the first and second Pshat of Rashi, and we will stop over here.